Hi, Ahmed, how are you?
I'm good, good, Naha. Thank you for you and Richard for joining us today.
You're welcome.
It's a bit of a cheesy what do you call it title that I chose, Thinking Healthy in Quarantine, but I think it kind of sums up what we can talk about today.
Definitely.
As an umbrella kind of thing. The thing is, it's really becoming really difficult to really be healthy. We're not getting enough exercise. We're not being able to, stop eating. I mean, the fridge is saying, leave me alone. what do you want now? So what do you guys think of that? Like, I'm pretty sure you're suffering the same thing. Trying to stay off snacking all the time and munching and being active.
Noha, you want to take this?
I think it is more difficult maybe to maintain movement and not like fill your time with snacks and eating. It is more difficult because you're at home more, but I don't think it is impossible. Especially like for example, I don't find myself personally snacking too much. I mainly because when I do eat, it fills me up. Like I eat food that is filling, I think. And also
Satiating.
movement-wise, it is more like it was a challenge in the beginning because, for me personally, I need the motivation of going somewhere. It helps me move more. It makes me more committed to moving. So working out at home requires you to kind of get over having an outside motivating thing like going out. But again, when I do move during the day or I work out, I notice that I feel better and it makes the isolation go by a little bit faster with a better energy. So, although it is, like I said, it is a bit more challenging, it's doable. I think if you just get over like the first hurdle, just take the first step and
And
have
hide.
that. Yeah.
I'd hide the remote, honestly. First thing is hide the Netflix remote, hide the
Right?
Apple TV remote, because that's the first
It's
thing I'm going
so
to go
easy.
reach for.
Yeah, it's so easy to get in. I think with the situation being what it is, it's easy to get in a rut and your routine becomes something that is comfortable, which is it's understandable, but you want to kind of change your mindset at some point. Take your rest, get used to what's going on right now, and then try to maybe change your mindset and get out of that rut basically. I think Richard probably has more to say about that because he is one of my motivating factors. He helps me to get out of when I do tend to maybe fall into a rut and I want to go into that because I am kind of a lazy person sometimes. He helps me kind of get out of that. So yeah, I'm gonna let
That's
him
a
talk
big, big confession. We're recording this.
Most people know that about me already, so
yeah, to some degree, I'm thinking like have you know, I think a lot of people, Noha probably faces some of this, or she definitely faces some of this, but it's not there are some factors that have not necessarily changed as far as prior to COVID-19 and during COVID-19. A lot of people already have problems finding the motivation to have these sort of balanced lifestyle factors. And 95, we know that like 95% of what we do every day, all the time, is basically the same from one day to the next. So we're a species of routine, and that's good because that makes us more efficient. Because if every day was so different, it would be very difficult for us to focus and be functional. But now that we have this COVID-19 situation, it's really disrupted all of that, and we're like, whoa! Now now we have to come up with a new routine or not. And if we don't come up with new routines, we're going to unravel. So it's highly important right now for us to basically try to find balance between those things like mindset, stress management, nutrition, sleep, physical activity. So that, back to your question, Ahmed, so that like your food choices hopefully get better, because the more you prioritize a little bit of movement and a little bit of better sleep and a little bit of, let's say, outside sun exposure for 15 minutes maybe, or some stress management practices in your day, it tends to cascade into making better food choices.
This is very true. I mean, what I'm trying to do, I mean, please tell me if I'm going on the right path, is I'm trying to schedule my meals as if there's no corona going on. So basically, when I used to have my lunch at a specific time, I try to stick to that breakfast, trying to eat only within a 3-4 hour intervals. And of course, not having, I'm being scared actually to order in is letting me actually cook more. So I'm actually controlling what I eat. But that's for me. But what I'm seeing is a lot of people are really having difficulty getting that now the restaurants are back in action, mm-hmm. and the government has allowed now the ordering in to be available until 10 p.m. Now, like we're back to square one. So many people that, you know, and I think this period is a really good time for us to reflect back and try to rectify a lot of wrongdoings that we're doing in our life. So, I think there must be some sort of mindset that people can put themselves, so they don't just reach for the apps and just order food whenever they feel like having a burger or a pizza or something like that. What do you think, Richard?
Yeah. First of all, I did not know that. I did not know what you just said about the restaurants being back in action. So, I'm sort of processing that. I do think, to be honest with you, for me, I think it's a risky thing to order from restaurants if you don't have to right now. I we have no idea who's preparing the food. I'm sure they're taking safety measures into account. But it's just, if you can prepare your own food now, I think it would be better. That's just my opinion. But regarding what you know, it's interesting. The first, I don't necessarily believe there are any wrong diets, but there are just wrongly prescribed diets. And the first, when it does come to dietary choices, the first step is the choice you make, right? To what you let into your home, whether you're ordering it from outside or whether you're going to the grocery store and purchasing it, it gets into your home by your own choice. So this is, I know it's easier said than done. I know, like, changing that mindset and making that that choice to eat healthier, non-inflammatory foods, higher in antioxidants, et cetera, that's the right way. Where you start with that, though, is that sort of 1% rule that in coaching we use to say, listen, like, how can you be 1% better today than you were yesterday? Don't try to go all out with changing your food and all that. But I know 1% might not always be easy to calculate, but the whole point of it is that I'm going to choose, if I'm eating badly all day and I'm snacking all day and I'm eating all types of refined and processed foods all day, how can I not do that for one meal tomorrow? And just prioritize that one tiny change until you're good with that. And then, you know, you start to build on that. That's the only thing that I would recommend people who can't seem to not order all these amazing, delectable foods, to do.
Yeah.
That's so true. What do you think, Noah?
I agree with Richard, in a lot of ways, obviously, but regarding letting things into your house, I have found I am a person who used to like really like snacking. I like snacking, and if it's in the house, I will find a way to get to it. My self control isn't always the best, and sometimes I have, like, subhanAllah, like everybody, some days I'm better than others. Some days I'm able to.
I will find you and I will kill you. I will find you snacks wherever you are.
Yeah, I will find. Yeah, if it's in the house, I will find. Even if I hide it somewhere, and I say, okay, only as a treat. No, I'll get through it. Because I know this about myself, that I have weak moments. It's like, it's not always, but some days, sometimes I do. So it's best not to bring those things in your house, because so it requires a bit more effort. So for example, if I feel like something sweet and I want to order from online, between the time that I order it and the time like I'm thinking of what to order, sometimes I'm able to, the craving goes away. By the time I'm going to order, the craving is gone. So it's not in the house. It requires a bit more energy, a bit more effort to get to it. Sometimes obviously the craving still stays and I still order it, but sometimes it doesn't. So not having in the not having a lot of snacking things, refined things with a lot of additives, a lot of bad like chemicals in the house is one of the steps that you could take to kind of mitigate the whole snacking on bad foods habit.
Yeah.
And cooking at home, really does make a difference. And I think now because of the quarantine, it's you like at night, maybe, I don't know what people's work schedules are like, how they work at home. But if you do have, it doesn't like, if you plan what you're going to eat at night in the beginning, like, okay, my dinner is going to be my healthy meal, for example, as Richard said, like one meal. And you already plan on what you're going to make. And then you commit to it and you make it. It could be the whole process of cooking. You can like choosing all the ingredients yourself and then eating it can be almost just as satisfying as having a snack sometimes.
Ahmed, may I say one thing about that before? I know, I'm sorry, I don't want to take too much time up on this particular point, but like what Noha was just saying too, I think at this time it's easier to not focus on what you should remove from your diet and more so focus on what you can add in, at least for that one meal, like you know how I was saying about a healthy dinner. I think that would be a better approach right now. It's just kind of, and by the way, like I'm not a calorie counter. And when I work with people, I don't believe in calorie counting as much as some other schools of thought do, right? So I think that quality of food is more important. And I know we all know the importance of time-restricted feeding or intermittent fasting. And I think that right now is a really good time for that. Instead of it's a powerful way to potentially limit your calorie intake if that's important for somebody. And there are indications that even if you have a bad diet, but you allow yourself to be empty for longer time periods, that you can also mitigate the damage from these types of refined processed foods. So I think now is a good time for that. If somebody's struggling to not make bad choices of regarding their food choices, then maybe go onto a tighter feeding window.
I totally agree on that. I mean, first point to what Noha said is yes, there is a bit of a hassle to actually order food. Because yes, now you have to, of course there's major delays because like everyone's panicking, everyone's ordering, because now the applications are actually doing also grocery shopping for you and pharmacy shopping, stuff like that, because you're not allowed to go out with the curfew. So I think the first hurdle, yes, would be I have to wait for this food for at least an hour to an hour and a half if I'm lucky. Yeah. Then of course the driver getting lost as usual and explaining. So maybe if we put that in our heads, it'll make it a lot difficult. And the point you said, Richard, yes, it's spot on about, substituting, or you're putting that mindset about, changing a bit at a time, cooking more at home because you're actually being in charge of what you're actually putting in the recipe. I totally agree 100%. I've been cooking every day ever since we started this thing, which is something I enjoy. But maybe not everyone does. But like you said, even if you don't know how to cook, at least try to limit your ordering out as much as you can.
So what's been your biggest lifestyle challenges during this situation?
Doing any activity really. I mean, I'm eating less and I'm only eating what I'm doing. But unfortunately, like I was just happy that I just joined the gym, right before this thing, like I'm only a month back.
Yeah.
And, but now like there's, I can't even go out to walk now. Cause like you can't go out unless I just want to walk to the grocery store and come back. But I mean, I have a set of dumbbells, I have a medicine ball, I have stuff like that. I just can't get myself to just get up and do something with them.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, Noha.
Sorry, I was just gonna say it's a motivation thing that's the biggest thing, like just getting up and doing it.
Well, you know, this is something too. I'm doing a lot of webinars right now for corporate clients and corporate partners, and you know, a lot of the focus is on the sort of like the small requirements or the requirements that to get yourself to baseline health when it comes to movement is a lot less than what people think it is. And I know that this is a sensitive topic because I'm also very well connected with a lot of the gyms, and they probably don't want me to say this, but the only reason people have in their head that they need to work out like for an hour, for instance, is because gyms schedule things by the hour. So it's just like across the world, people think that that's how much time they need to dedicate to it. But the actual evidence-based science shows that, you know, moving more, just like moving around, which that's the biggest risk right now is our sedentary lifestyle because we're in our homes. So, you know, sitting for a cumulative, not even straight, but a cumulative 6 hours in an entire day has been linked to so many chronic diseases. So we all have phones with timers, and we have the ability to set timers to get up along the lines of what the science says we should. And it's very important to keep your metabolism working to do that. And then after that, doing like for, it actually says from like somewhere between 7 and 30 minutes, but 7 minutes of resistance training is effective if you do it consistently. Right. So it doesn't take much, but it's hard to get going. It's hard to take that first step. But I think that the most important thing right now for people is to not necessarily worry about working out as much as worry about standing more often, because it doesn't require walking, because just standing helps to boost your metabolism a little bit, turn it back on. Because when we sit, it's at about the 40-minute mark, we start to go into a down regulation of our metabolism.
So what would you think, something that can really kickstart us, you know, like do we look for videos online, you know, to get us moving? Do we find like our friends who are like doing exercise and get them to push us to do it? I mean, lots of gyms are trying their best as well. I mean, like RG, Fit, Interval, they're all doing live sessions mm-hmm. on Instagram, trying to get people motivated. RG Fit, I've sent us a package that you can buy for really good, it was like 200, 250 reals mm-hmm. for actual videos that they send you, and you can do it at home. But I think it's the thing that really pushed people to do the gym stuff is because it was a group, like, because mm-hmm. I'm not just going to work out. I'm going to see, Muhammad and Waleed and Hussam and blah, blah. And the girls are going to see, Noha and Rania and Yasmin and, you know, like it's a get together. It became a get together more than actual activity.
Can I say something about that? If you're the type of person who, goes out to the gym and value like likes that socialization part, or even the like having someone around, it does help maybe in these times to have someone, even if it's on like online, someone to be a partner with you like while you're doing it, like a motivating partner. I know that, as I said, I sometimes like I'm not very motivated. I don't feel I do yoga online, and that helps me when I'm doing it online, even if it's like I do like from Bitnut, and I Studio 180 also offers classes online that I know of live. I'm sure a lot of gyms do. That helps for me to continue doing yoga. But if when it comes to workouts, I do know that I probably wouldn't be as motivated to do it because some days I don't. I know that I feel 100% better when I do it. I sleep better. I feel better. I just feel better when I do it. But sometimes I'm just lazy. I don't want to get up and do it. And it helps to have someone in my life like Richard who motivates me and like pushes me to do it and is like my accountability partner. So sometimes having that, if you feel like going to the gym, that's like, because I feel like going to the gym helps me stay accountable because, you know, you're paying for it. It's different. It's like you feel like you have to go. Find someone that maybe can help you, can motivate you, someone you feel comfortable with, someone that you that will help you to like, you know, be accountable for your movements and your workouts. That's what I think anyway. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if I would just to kind of sum all that up, I think for it also depends on who you are and where you are in your particular journey of movement. Because if somebody has never really been, if somebody hasn't worked out a lot up to this point, and all of a sudden under this COVID-19 curfew situation, this is where they're going to begin, then perhaps a YouTube video, which there are plenty of, the body coach is, I think the body coach is probably definitely the most viewed fitness channel on YouTube. And he's amazing. Like, I mean, he's, and it's just, it's high intensity interval training. Some of it's low impact, some of it's high impact. Sometimes it's with dumbbells. Anybody can more or less do it. It's very intense and you will get results. But somebody who has gotten used to that communal thing that I think is very important too, whether you get it in the fitness world or whether you get it elsewhere. I mean, human communal bonding is essential for our holistic well-being, that's being threatened right now. It's being challenged anyway. But I think that all of those things with RG Fit, Interval Plus, Arena, all of them are doing it. I think that that's great. I would highly recommend doing that unless you're just getting started. If you're just getting started, me personally, I would not recommend doing that because there's no trainer that can necessarily watch your form. And I think that that's crucial when you're just getting started. So if you're just getting started, it's probably better. Well, actually, I say that I don't know how intense these clubs are. Their workouts are right now online, but it's better to do very basic moves with intensity at this point, which you can find, like I said, on the Body Coach or Mind Pump, Funk Roberts. You know, there are so many resources online.
Yeah, that's great. Yes, because like you said, I mean. Actually, one of the things that really got me hesitant at first to join Interval was I always thought I wasn't ready, you know, because I've been not doing any sort of really, you know, heavy exercise or even medium exercise for so long. I thought, you know, this is way out of my league. But I mean, it's worth at least starting somewhere, like you said, with these videos. That people can check out, and then you can know they can try and move, because not all of us have the luxury of, for example, having a backyard or having a stationary bike or a treadmill at home that some people have. Some people live in small apartments, you know, they don't have that luxury, but at least you can do very, very basic stuff that you can use using just your body weight, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And by the way, like, I'll admit, I live in a pretty small apartment. If I'm on the phone with a colleague, if I'm on the phone with a friend, a business person, whatever, I try to make it a rule to walk on every one of my calls. And you know what? By like 4 or 5 in the afternoon, you can get to somewhere between probably 7,000 to 10,000 steps. If you put that in place, and it's hard, like with everything, it's hard to get started with that. But as Noha was saying, the way you feel when you stay moving or the way you feel after you work out, that's what you want to, you want to try to get addicted to something new. So like that, you want to, you know, push yourself, find an accountability partner too. As Noha said, it's very important. Find one friend, find one person that makes sure that both of you make sure that you did your 15 minutes of a hit or that you got your so many thousand steps, whatever your target is. It's super important right now to have that.
That's super. I'm also liking if we shift now to the part about social connections. I'm really loving this initiative that you guys are doing. If you can talk to the listeners about it, where you both are doing the same recipe and then you're putting the two pictures together of like your final dish. I think that's brilliant. I mean, lots of couples now that, you know, probably still in engagement phase or just getting, you know, still getting working on, you know, building their lives together, still not living together or married. They're probably missing each other and they're trying to find activities to do with one another. So I think this was brilliant. So can you tell us a little bit like how it came to, like how you've thought of that and how are you doing it and staying on schedule with it?
No, I'll go ahead.
We don't do it every night, but we try to do it whenever we can, whenever we have the time and we have. So, first of all, I don't know how it started, to be honest. We just like decided on, yeah, do you remember? I remember now. Richard, his favorite pasta is puttanesca. I've never had it before.
Ahmed, do you know puttanesca?
Not really, no.
Go ahead.
I'm not going to explain the name, but I'm sure Richard
can explain it. I can explain it professionally.
Okay.
Yeah, please.
Okay. So it is my favorite. It's my personal favorite pasta, as Noah said. It's very widely found on menus in Italian restaurants across the world. We've been looking for here in Jeddah. We've been looking for an Italian restaurant that has it, but they don't. But you can ask for it to be made. But basically, it's very, very simple. It's like it's pasta with, you know, with a very light sauce that's got tomatoes. Black olives, capers, red pepper flakes, and there's a few anchovies that have been whipped up in it, but you know they disappear or whatever. But the final sauce is a tomato-based light, spicy sauce with black olives and capers. But wow. It comes from Sicily, and it was as the name. So you know the suffix esque, like. Noha, give us an example of esque, like arabesque. Like they use the word arabesque in the West to say something is of Arab origin, right?
Yeah.
So
yes.
The first word on puttanesca is not a very nice word, and I'm not going to go any further into it. But it comes from the Italian word for a certain sales trade that goes way back in time. And this dish was made by businesswomen in Sicily. A long time
questionable
ago.
Morals.
I'm sorry?
Businesswomen of questionable morals.
Yeah, and that's the truth. This is it's a very, you can look it up, puttanesca. It comes from businesswomen of suspect morals. And the dish is amazing, though. So yeah. Go ahead, Mom.
You reminded me of the story when I was researching some content for my client, and I was looking for the origins of the tiramisu. Yes, the tiramisu.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it had coffee and it had liquor, so it was like it was served in brothels to actually give an extra boost.
Okay.
So, wow. The Italians.
Yeah. Wow.
So it seems the culture really has a lot of these things.
Okay. It seems like it. Okay. So yeah, that's the story. So.
So I had never had it, and we. Decided to buy their ingredients for it and to prepare it together that night. Because of the whole quarantine, both Richard and I are finding ourselves cooking more at home. So we're like, okay, let's give it a try. And I wanted to try. So we did it the same night, and he had the recipe and he sent me the recipe and we did it together. And it was, you know, first of all, like it was like we are cooking a meal together, even if it's long distance. And then the whole process of cooking together is a bonding experience. It's fun. It's a way to stay connected. And then you eat it, and it's as if, like I was saying yesterday, it's as if you're eating the same meal together because the flavors of your meal are pretty much the same. So it's hard being in quarantine, and it's you feel sometimes, even if you're surrounded by your family, and even if like it's sometimes you get like, you feel like you want to do something different. You want to do something new. So that's like, and it doesn't have to be even like for like people who are engaged. It can be also friends doing it together. It's as I said, it's a bonding experience. It's something new to try. And yeah, so that's how it started. And then we liked it. We were like, okay, let's continue to do it every once in a while, meals together. We don't always have the same ingredients and we don't always have the same, like, but we try to make it work either way. So that's how.
Yeah, I think it's highly important, you know. I think almost every culture has some sort of notion that eating alone is not necessarily great for you. And there are a lot of people who are either single or alone right now. I mean, I'm, alhamdulillah, I'm very grateful. I'm here in Saudi Arabia, but all my family's not here. And this would be very challenging if I, you know, didn't have the ability to bond with someone who meant something to me while I'm eating breakfast, lunch, dinner, cooking by myself. I mean, how many people can you possibly call? And it doesn't have to be, you know, we could also read books and work on ourselves and all that. But I think when it comes down to eating, I think if you have the ability to call a friend or call a loved one, cook together, and then maybe even eat together on video call, you know what I'm saying? It's a very powerful, and gratitude filled practice, I think.
Yeah, and like Richard's just mentioned again, it doesn't have to be like, if let's say, for example, if you're far away from your family right now, if you live like your parents, even if it's you're in the same city, people are separated. They're separated from their parents, they're separated from their siblings, and like it's one of the ways that you can like stay connected while doing something. So if you're, let's say, for example, if you're talking to your family every day, topics sometimes, like, you know, there's not much to talk about unless you're talking about the coronavirus, because that's like on everybody's mind and it gets a little bit depressing and overwhelming. So you want to do something different, and you're far away. So one of the things that you can do that's different is cook together, read together, watch like something together and discuss it. You want to try to get yourself out of the mindset of talking about what's going on in the world, because that can get, like I said, very depressing. If you're focused on
that.
Can
I admit something too? Like, yeah. What Noha's saying here, I'm just gonna admit it. She and I read together almost every night. We do that more than we cook together.
Yeah.
Wow. We do. So you dedicate a certain time that you both have to be reading at the same time.
Yeah. No, so we're reading. Sorry, Noha.
No, we don't dedicate a time where that we're both reading at the same time. We read out loud together.
Yeah. I actually have physical possession of the book that we're reading, and we take pictures of the pages of the chapter we're going to read, and then we both on the phone, we have it. So she's got it in the digital copy. I've got physical copy, and we read it out loud.
Wow. Well, that seems amazing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Like I said, you want to, like, the time you feel some people will find that they have more time on their hands. And you want to, it's so easy for the time to get like away from you by like just, you know, really not doing much in the day. You think of your day and you think, okay, what did I do today? There's not much that I did. So it takes sometimes a bit of like proactive thinking to do activities with someone, or even if, let's say, for example, without someone, but things that will help you with your, like, for example, like cooking your own meals, reading, like things that will help you kind of fill the time with things that, with something that makes you feel productive, because it gets easy to fall into the whole, you know, the day goes away from you. And it is, if you are in a relationship or a friendship or whatever, it does help you even stay connected and stay social, because it's hard to, like, the social thing is, if you're living alone, it does get hard. Alhamdulillah, I have my family around me, but people who don't have their family around them, like, it's hard enough, but being away from your family makes it even harder. And, you know, you need to kind of find a way to stay connected in ways that other than just calling, for example.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people are getting into this house party app. where you can actually have like up to 6 or 8 people, and you like you can play games and you can draw on the screen and like I mean, I tried it once or twice. It's really fun, but it's like hard to get everyone synced in at the same time. But I mean, whenever you open it, there's someone there online, you know. But
yeah,
the thing is, not everyone wants to get caught off guard, you know. Especially, I mean, know how you probably agree, you know. Especially you girls, you're a bit more cautious about how you look like. So, you know, like, no, my hair, no, my,
yeah, it's no, such my, a strange my app. Yeah. Very true. It's such a strange app. We use it. Occasionally, and I use it with my friend, but I don't really have a lot of people on it, to be honest. So I don't have that. I've never had the problem of somebody just popping in while you're in a conversation with someone, but I would imagine that would be a little awkward. So
definitely,
yeah. I mean, there's an option of lock room, but I mean, you might forget one time to lock the room, and then suddenly, like, someone just hello, what are you up to?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it would be really awkward if you're actually talking about that person behind their back. Oh.
I'm sure horrible things have happened already.
Totally. Richard, sorry, you were saying something, Noah?
No, I was just saying the apps right now, like there's so many different apps for staying connected. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah. Well, okay. So like if we would say, because Noha chose like the main topic, which is keeping a healthy mindset during quarantine. If you guys would like, let's say give 5 golden principles, you know, that someone has to, can follow 1, 2, or even all 5 of them. And you know that it's going to make you feel a lot better about what you're doing or your time. Like, for example, I feel really bad if a day passes and I haven't done something productive or I've done, even if it's just a simple post on the Foodies or gone live with someone on Instagram and talked for a bit or, you know, accomplished a presentation. You feel just your day just vanished between your fingers, you know, like sand. Yeah. So I think one of the things for me is feeling accomplished. So if you guys can give us like 5 things that you think will really uplift the mood for anyone being in house quarantine.
I'm gonna let Richard, I think, start.
All right, I'll try to make it 5. It might be more like 3, but a big 3. So, yeah, I mean, if I just had to give, and I've been, you know, this is kind of something I've been saying to on the webinars, and also I've been doing one-on-one coaching and online, and I'm trying to get everyone to understand that first and foremost regarding mindset is that we have to be very radically, radically accepting of the fact that the outcomes are out of our hands. Right? We don't know what's happening. We really don't. You can listen to this and then the next day you hear somebody say this and CNN says that and then an epidemiologist says this and it's still so unsure what's happening, how long this is going to go on for. It's really, the only thing that's sure is that we potentially will enter into a new normal for a permanent new normal of some type, major disruption of how life was. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. There are ways to thrive at the end of this. There are ways to thrive now, and there are ways to thrive at the end of this. And practicing radical acceptance that it's out of your hands, and that the only thing you can do your best at is yourself, your personal internal environment. And I tell people, if you have to, leave a sticky note by your bed that says, "Ask if I did my best." And sit there in bed and reflect, did you do your best today? And then also a sticky note next to your bed when you wake up in the morning saying, and reminding yourself to be 1% better than you were yesterday. At your holistic, the holistic values that you establish for yourself that are objective affirmative. So objective meaning whatever your purpose is, whatever your why is, whatever gets you out of bed every morning, whatever you want out of life. Right now, we have the gift of time to think about that and really do some future visioning to think about who you want to be when this is over, who you want to be 3 years from now, 5 years from now, the rest of your life. What do you want out of life? Establish your holistic values around that, because those values need to be affirmative of that. They need to support that, right? And then that, so that's one and two. And then three, establish your routine around where you're skipping the most. So what I mean by that is, along the possible holistic values of mindset, soul work, nutrition, physical activity, sleep optimization, stress management, learning new things, whatever, wherever you're skipping the most in that, in those, out of those pillars, establish a routine only along the lines of one of those where you can be incrementally better every single day, because the return on the investment of the energy that you put in to that will have massive impact on all the other pillars. So I know that I'm being a little bit like, maybe I'm not being so specific, but that's my advice. So the three points are purpose, two, holistic values, and three, establish your routine.
Yeah, I guess that works. Yeah. Three is a very good three, very strong three indeed.
Yeah.
So you would think like feeling accomplished is part of the purpose.
Yeah, you know, we need to, when you attach value to something, it's really then and only then that you get a dopamine response, right? So you want a hormonal and neurotransmitter response to what you've done. You want to feel high off of accomplishing something. But the only way that really happens is if you put value on it. If you don't value something, you're not likely to get that kick. So if the action item that you place value on is in support of your goal, whatever your goal is, whatever your purpose is, then the chances of you getting that feeling that keeps you driven is going to be higher.
Great. Yeah. So the bigger the value, the bigger the kick that you're going to get.
Yes.
Okay, great.
So it takes some soul searching. You got to become clear on what you want. And in that process, hopefully you say, you know what, this is really what I want. And now is the golden opportunity, this amazing gift of time. You know, if I may bring this up, you know, Noha mm-hmm. and I were talking about this recently too. There's a hadith, and of course I'm not able to say it in Arabic or anything like that, but there's a hadith that says that the Prophet said that he's afraid that his ummah would waste two things, free time and their health. And it's to me, that's very applicable to right now. because both of those things are at high risk of being wasted.
Oh, totally agree. Speaking about, you know, these kind of reflections, I'm going to send you guys this YouTube video. It's this Islamic scholar in the UK. He's called Abdul Hakim Murad.
Okay. you just watched that yesterday.
Oh, you just watched! Oh, it's amazing. The one he released for the mid of Sha'ban.
Yeah, incredible.
It's amazing. It's like half an hour, but you're like, if you really listen to it, like, there's so many things that, you know what, he's right. You know, this is right. You know, especially the part about how Allah is using always the weakest of His creations to strike, you know, fear and knowledge and, you know, into people, you know, like using frogs, using mosquitoes, using, you know, now using this little protein that dies with a bit of soap.
Yeah.
Just, you know, and it's putting everything, the whole world, millions, billions of people on hold, and billions of dollars of economy, you know. So it's just, wow. I mean, I'll put the link also in the description of the podcast in case anyone wants to. And please share anything that you like, even the exercise bits that you mentioned, Richard. If you have links, we can also put that in the podcast description for people to have easy access.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I think that'd be great, by the way, if you share that Abdul Hakim Murad video or sound clip. You know, Noha and I were talking about how, first of all, it was a masterpiece. Like his what he said it was such an impressive masterpiece of words. You know what I mean? And also the reflections, as you said, on what this could, how we can use this, especially with Ramadan approaching. Like, nothing, first of all, we should be so grateful that nothing truly, I know the masajid are being taken away and the tarawih and all that, but we still have the opportunity to make this the best Ramadan yet. Personally, you can still fast, you can still pray, you can still pay your zakat, whatever, you know, you're going to do, you can still do it. So, and it's coming right around the corner now. And it's so sad to me. A lot of the people I'm working with are struggling. Their lifestyle is so off the mark that going into Ramadan like this is just not optimal, you know? So I think it would be great if you shared that.
Yeah, it's true, true. You're right, like that part where you said about, it really shows how flexible Islam is, that you can actually practice everything while you're at home. You can pray, you can fast, you can pay your zakah online. I mean, basically, you can do anything except, you know, doing Umrah and Hajj. So,
yeah,
you know, it's really, we're really blessed, you know, by this. And you're right about, it's good. It's really going to take a big toll on people during Ramadan, especially because Ramadan is known not just for worship, but it's a very social month. Like, people go to their parents, like not already living with their parents. Like, they go to their parents for iftar, one day at my aunt, one day at my uncle, one day this and that. And, but I mean, with the power of technology, I'm pretty sure people will try and find a way around this, try to make the best of it in some way. Especially those who don't like to binge a lot on TV shows and Ramadan series. I know I'm not one of them.
Alhamdulillah.
I was just going to say, like, this, what's going on in the world right now, it's not like something. It's depressing. It's overwhelming. It's scary. A lot of people are going through understandably stressful times. Like, there's no way to sugarcoat that part, really. But this opportunity now, where may inshallah, like, everybody stays healthy, nobody really like you wish health and people to stay safe and healthy regardless. But when are you ever going to get this chance to have like this kind of like a pause? So in order for you to reflect and to kind of think about what you're like, you see this a lot, by the way, in like posts and stuff. I'm not really saying anything new, but what in your life was benefiting you and what in your life are you doing fine without? Like, there are things that you thought that you needed in your life and now you're doing without it and you don't feel the loss. There are things, obviously, that you thought, there are things that you do feel the loss of, but there are some things like it really helps you kind of like spring cleaning of your life and like reflecting on yourself and how you can be better, whether it's like outside your health and your mindset and productivity, or whether it's internally. Like, everybody can find something that they maybe were kind of neglecting or ignoring. And now they have the opportunity to like work on it. Like, even now before Ramadan, like spiritually, like there are, I'm sure, like for me, I personally know that there are a lot of things that I can be better at before. And now, like, it's like before Ramadan, this is happening. You are afforded, like, you know, the things that distract you are not as prevalent. I mean, TV is still here and like things, like there are distractions, but they're like going out and socializing and other things like that are not distracting you as much. You have the chance now more than ever to think, okay, maybe I can be better in this before Ramadan. Maybe this is something that I can, like, you don't have that distraction anymore. You don't have the outside world calling you to do things that might take you away from working on something that you need to work on before Ramadan, and hopefully will become part of your life forever. So I think, like, in a lot of, like, in some way, it's a bad situation that's happening. But if you wanted to look at the positive in it, in any aspect, really, you can have a positive think, like a positive mindset regarding anything if you want to. and looking for the like the silver lining of what's happening now. As we said, whether it's mind, body, or soul, or like in like even in like the soul, the spiritual part, you can find a lot of good that can come out of this, especially before Ramadan. We hope that it ends before Ramadan, but if it doesn't, it could actually be in some ways beneficial. And yeah, that's kind of what I got from that video as well.
Just to add a little bit about what you said, that was really nice. Like we were recording a podcast a few days ago with my friends Adair Rajah and Muhammad Tayyar, who are also entrepreneurs. They also have their own startups, and like we're all struggling a bit, you know, with the you know, like the work and the income. Mm-hmm. Now everything stopped, but we were talking during the podcast, trying to figure out, you know, new ideas, and actually brainstorming as we record. So they actually said a really really interesting thing, and I keep repeating it to myself. He says that after all this is done, and you found that you didn't do anything with your time back then, when everything, I mean, post corona, you were always blaming time, that I don't have time. But now that you have time, and after this, you find you're still not done, then you weren't lacking time. You were actually lacking discipline.
Yeah.
You didn't have enough discipline to actually use your resources, use your time to actually do something productive. So stop blaming time and try to work on yourself, you know, to be more disciplinary about what you're doing with your time and your resources and the things around you.
Yeah, I think that's so important. Like we always say, like, people who are bad, you know, and a lot of us have time management issues, but being given more time would not fix it. You know what I mean? Like if you were given 25 hours in a day, most of us would still find a way to be inefficient with that. So it's more about, you know, becoming more efficient with your daily tasks and your routines and focus, and a lot of that comes, in my opinion, still from those pillars of health. If you can optimize your sleep and your physical activity and your food and your stress management and all of that, you have more cognitive power to apply to whatever your daily tasks are and get them, you know, accomplish them with much, much more effectiveness and efficiency.
Yeah, that's very true. Now, guys, thank you so much. I mean, I don't want to take more of your time. This has been an amazing episode. I didn't feel the time fly by. We've clocked in about 50 minutes. They flew by like nothing, you know, like, but it's, yeah. we tossed around so many ideas, so many topics. Now, I just want, one last thing I want to ask is if you can just mention, each of you, where can our listeners find you online?
On my Instagram account is with Noha. That's where I post most of my recipes, not recipes, really, food pictures and some recipes. But yeah, that's my Instagram account if anybody wants to find me.
And so I work with the Delta organization. So Delta.wellness is one of the accounts, and then Richard in Arabia is my other one.
Oh, that's good. Maybe if we'd have gone Richard of Arabia, kind of.
Richard of Arabia.
Well, I don't know. I, you know, I never thought of it. I don't know why I chose an in instead of an of, but yeah, Richard in Arabia. Maybe one day I'll evolve to Richard of Arabia.
Yeah, pretty cool. Yeah, maybe that you would do another one, just, you know, for different, like when you, if you're into road trips and stuff like that, so you start, you know, exploring the lands of Saudi Arabia by car.
Definitely,
I'll be Richard of Arabia.
I'm gonna do that. Amazing. Yeah, thank you so much. Also, for the opportunity to be on this podcast with you, really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having us. It was enjoyable, mashallah, alhamdulillah.
That's great. That's great. I mean, we had an amazing time. So thank you so much for the time you've given us and all the knowledge. And I mean, if you ever have another topic you want to discuss, just, you know, holler at me, and we'd love to have you back.
Thank you.
We'd love that.
Great stuff. Thank you so much, guys.
Have a great weekend. Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye.